All right, welcome back to Live It Out, a podcast here in the final week of The Grateful Life. Tim?
Dave?
Hey, we have a special guest with us.
Woohoo! Aaron, hey guys!
Aaron DeShazo!
Glad to be here.
Welcome back, Aaron.
It's good to be with you guys again.
We're glad you're here. So this week we were talking about choosing joy leads to a peace-filled, grateful heart. And Aaron, this question we asked last week, Tim and I talked about it too. Maybe a couple weeks ago, as we've been talking about being grateful for a month, how has that impacted you? Has it been like, wow, it's harder to be grateful? Is it easier to be grateful? What's it been like?
I don't know that I would even say it's been harder, but I'm just the awareness of it. I think I'm trying to be more intentional, like finding the moments where I realize how often I'm not walking in gratefulness.
Yeah.
And so there's an awareness now of like, mm-hmm. Oh man, I want to intentionally practice this. So it's like a heightened sense of like, oh man, like I need this. I need this in maybe a way I didn't know I needed it before. Cause now I'm even more aware of how much I tend to gravitate maybe towards complaining or getting frustrated and not walking in that and allowing worship to be a result. So yeah. Some self-awareness there for sure.
I think that's a huge, I was thinking about that when you asked me that question a couple weeks ago, and I've thought about it a few times since. Just that's like, that's not like a byproduct. Like, I've been noticing that this is a time when it's really hard for me to be grateful. That's actually a huge part of the point is, draw, what are you paying attention to? And studying scripture helps you pay attention to certain things. And not just, oh, I learn what the scripture says, but also when I'm not sitting with my Bible in front of me, I'm paying attention to these things in my life. I know every spiritual discipline should be doing that. It should help draw my attention to something that I might not normally pay attention to. Right? Is that
totally
right?
Totally. I think that's totally right. So I did get clearance to share this, just so we're clear. But for both my wife and my daughter, they're both like, could you guys stop talking about being grateful? It's really, really hard. It's really, really hard. Like right now, like there's like, why does everything seem to be irritating me? And why does everything seem to be so, so difficult? Yeah, like the more you're talking about being grateful, the harder it seems to be sometimes. And so I think it can be like that. I think maybe like you just said, Tim, it's a heightened awareness around maybe what is not existing in my world and maybe highlighting some things, or even sometimes maybe it does highlight even the spiritual battle of it all, that we are in a spiritual battle against heavenly forces. And like when we try to be grateful, it shouldn't surprise us that we would come up against adversity in that.
And different kinds of adversity. You just mentioned irritating. Mm-hmm. I like that's in this week's Live It Out on Thursday. There's a question about like, what do you find, what's been irritating you? Yeah. And I think that's good. It's part of that paying attention thing is gratitude isn't just like, yes, how do I be grateful in the storms of life, the worst things? But also I should pay attention to what I find irritating and go, why is this irritating me so much?
Good.
What's my deal? Yeah, I'll give you one. Driving out of my neighborhood, it's one way in, one way out this week. Man, I got a worship song playing, and they're building houses at the entrance, and they have a forklift parked over half the road. They did for 2 days. I'm like, guys, you can't leave it here. You just can't park in the road. This is the road.
It's for driving, not parking.
And I'm like, it surely this can't be it. And I drove away. I'm like, maybe I could choose grateful. Anyway, hey, let's talk a little bit about this choosing joy, that idea a little bit. You know, like, what does it mean to choose joy? How does that maybe go against the grain of what people normally think about. And I have a big, I have lots of those, right? Big issues. But one of them is like we try and distinguish between joy and happy. So let's it just is the same thing. Choosing to be happy. How is that different from what kind of the world tells us? As followers of Jesus, as we choose joy, choose happy.
Hmm.
Aaron's just looking at me like,
he's like, you say something.
The girl like leaning in.
Who's going?
What is really choosing joy? How is that different?
Yeah. Like as followers of Jesus, this is really different than the world would say, hey, your happiness, you know, be happy when good stuff happens.
Right.
Be sad when bad stuff happens.
Mm-hmm. Or sometimes even the world would say like, oh, just don't worry, be happy, you know, like,
right.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Almost like just, that. Right. You know, just like, that might be another more positive way, but I think it's just as hollow because I think you have to know what is, like, there has to be, you still have to have something that's worthy of joy, you know? You can't just pretend. Choosing joy isn't just pretending right. to be joyful.
Mm-hmm.
That's just as pointless, and I think we'll leave you in the same spot as going, well, if my circumstances are good, I can be joyful, and if they're not, well, I'm going to be angry and punch the wall. Like,
right.
Either way, you need something that is, that's like joy is appropriate for, you know, you got to have that. And I think that's a key piece of choosing joy is understanding what is true that deserves joy. Can I give a little example of that from?
Yeah.
Okay. This just popped in my head, and this is maybe more vulnerable than I would intend to be. People sometimes go, okay, when you teach on the weekends, oh, are you getting nervous about that? I am not the kind of person who gets nervous standing in front of a crowd of people. For whatever reason, that doesn't make me nervous. What does is preparing for that, because I don't want to waste anybody's time. I want to prepare well. I want to say what needs to be said. I don't want to waste the, you know, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if nervous is the right word, but there for a long time, I would find as I would come into a weekend where I was teaching, I would feel almost like, this is going to sound way overstated, but almost like despair, like kind of a don't screw this up kind of despair. And I had to reach a point where I was like, wait a second, it's not appropriate for the situation. It doesn't match with the situation. And I think that's kind of what choosing joy is, going, what's really true? Does despair match with the situation, or does joy match with the situation? Sadness might match, but I don't think for a believer, despair ever matches your reality. So I like, again, this is not a life catastrophe. It's like, oh, okay, you're stressed or whatever about public speaking. Okay. But I had to go, okay, what do I have here? Oh, I have an opportunity to open God's word, to study it. I got paid to study God's word, and now I get a chance to teach other people about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Come on. Choose joy, dude. You know?
Yeah.
That was a major, I know it probably doesn't sound like that should be such a big deal, but that was a major breakthrough for me. Yeah. And that was a way of like, understand what is true. What's really going on here? Okay, I can choose joy because this scenario deserves joy, not just despair. Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes sense.
Totally. And I love too that, I mean, the gospel is so transformative in our thinking, right? And that's something we've talked a ton about for many years, but especially I think throughout this series of how, as we engage and enter in, as we compare maybe the way that we think, the way that we see, to the way we would just say the world does, those that know Christ and those that do not. There's truly evidence of that when you are being transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit, I think, in your thinking, in the way that you approach. Because the reality is, like you were saying, like we've said on the weekend before too, joy isn't faking it till you make it, right? It's not pushing aside the real and the hard of life and just pretending like that's not true, or it's not happening to you, or it's not something you have to walk through. But when you're really experiencing that transformative power of God in you, and you're rejoicing that God is with you, I think that just changes it for us. Like the way that we can be set apart from the world, where it's, I can experience and walk through grief or hardship or trial or frustration or whatever, and still have joy. That those things actually don't have to be set apart. There's something that actually live together, I think. And that's something you can only really, you have to walk that out, right? Yeah. Like I can think about circumstances in my life where it wasn't that being joyful was the absence of hard in my world. It was, how am I how am I experiencing joy even in the midst of life, as life has good days and hard days, right? And so I think that's been really cool for me in this series, and to practice and walk that out, to not try to feel like, oh, I just have to be a happy person and pretend, or, you know, always put on a show that makes people see I have the light of Christ in me, but rather, what does it actually look like to live vulnerably and actually still have that light, trusting that the Holy Spirit is actually doing that through me in the way that I choose to live, speak, interact with others. But that wasn't just always putting on my happy, bubbly personality. It was walking life with people in the real, and walking with that knowledge, that, again, that transformative thinking that says, but the Holy Spirit lives in me, and that changes the way I think and I live and I approach everything.
Yeah.
You know, as Paul in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Tying back to chapter 3, where he says, finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It's just not a concept that we spend a lot of time talking about, the idea that joy is a verb. We spend a lot of time talking about it, but I just mean, like, people in general, like this idea of rejoicing. So last week we had a retreat, and for our staff, we had staff retreat last week. And we do talk a lot about choosing joy in the midst of hard stuff. Like, how do we choose joy in the midst of hard stuff? Or we talk about that some, you know, it's not a feeling, you know, it's a verb, it's a thing we do, but sometimes it is a feeling. It is a feeling. And so I had this, and all my stories about driving my car, one weekend somebody gave me a hard time about that. And I'm like, I drive my car a lot. You know, I live on the other side of town, and I drive my car. I spend a lot of time there, and I'm driving my car and worshiping to a song, grateful. Just been a great song for me in this series. Just going back, going, okay, sometimes you gotta pick yourself up, right? It's the Paul, dig deep. Sometimes Paul says you gotta dig deep, like strengthen your knees, you know, like you have a part in that. And I'm driving my car, I'm listening to that song, going to day two of the retreat last week, and I'm like, I was like overcome with gratitude for all kinds of stuff in my world. And I was like, wow, like it really is amazing. And then our speaker that day was talking about some stuff, and talking about our staff, and wow, you guys really like each other and you really like hanging out together. And wow. And people would be like, oh, that should be normal in a church staff. And it's just not, not, you know? And I was really overcome with a feeling of gratitude. That isn't something that I would say, oh, that's normal, that's what I experience. And so I think, just like sometimes we could say, hey, that it's about the choice, I would say sometimes that choice will lead to the feeling. And for me, I would say rarely. Rarely it leads to that, like, overwhelming. And I would only be able to say it was something that the Spirit of God welled up within me. Like, I wouldn't know how else to do it, you know, or how else to say it. So in that ties into where we're going to go next. I'm going to talk a little bit about worship. So Aaron, one of the things that we've talked about is Live It Out, a podcast, is about how do we use this daily discipleship guide? How do we do this? And we've talked before about how we have a personal preference on how we would do stuff, but it really is about the daily pursuit of Jesus and how we allow the Holy Spirit to shape us. And one of those really important things is worship. And so Mark talked about how it was a really cool thing. And like, hey, man, when we added a worship song into what we were doing, it was really significant. So we want to talk a little bit about like the spiritual practice of worship and two aspects of it. One is the one that I think maybe when we say the word worship, people just normally go to is the idea of collective or corporate worship, when we're gathered together in worship. But we also maybe want to talk a lot more. I mean, I think we talk a little bit about that, but a lot more in Live It Out, and the idea of integrating worship into our life. So What are some of your thoughts as we think about, let's start by talking about gathering in worship and the importance there, and then we'll move to the daily.
Yeah. Well, of course, I'm a huge advocate for this, and specifically worship through music as we gather corporately. There's just truly something, we see that in scripture, something that God has designed. He has intentionality in us coming together as a church body and lifting up truth, praising him, honoring him, encouraging one another, even through the sound. I think, like you said, music is emotional. There's feeling there, right? So there's something, I think, impactful when we're listening to a room full of believers lifting up a collective sound of truth to the King. There's something powerful about that. Reminders of who God is, reminders that he's built a community, we're not alone, that in itself glorifies him. It's an act of worship, just our obedience in gathering together as a, we are a committed body to Christ. That's huge, I think. And it's different than personal. They both are, I think, necessary. Really.
So as we think about the weekend, right? Like, and when we think about, okay, we're gathered together in a room, I think one of the things that often it's like, well, we did the worship, that was the singing part, but kind of like the collective whole, like mm-hmm. as we're, I don't know how to say it other than programming or designing a worship experience, it really is more than just the songs that we sing.
Oh, right? Absolutely. Like, and I think we have to come in recognizing first and foremost the entire thing. Like you just said, it's a worship experience. From the moment you're the, it's all worship, right? Every piece. It's not just the music.
Yeah. And I think even the people, maybe a piece people don't even consider, you know, like as a Bible communicator, people think I'm talking about the quote unquote preaching part. I'm not even talking about that. Like, like the idea of what am I giving? How am I, who are people that I'm, you know, that I'm in this room with, how am I participating? Am I welcoming? I don't even think people probably think like, wow, part of my worship is making others feel welcome right. in this yeah. environment.
And showing up even is a discipline, like it's an act of worship. Like I'm setting aside this time every week, you know, I'm going to make this time set aside not to do just what I want. You could do your own little personal worship service. You yeah. could, but to go, no, God's so worthy. I'm going to be with other people and we're going to do this together because, you know, even that mm-hmm. it's just showing up is yep. can be an act of worship.
Yeah. Right. And I think showing up like, hey, what am I going to give to this mm-hmm. rather than,
yeah.
Often. And that's such an important piece, I think, is really us getting into the mindset, too, of, again, what and who worship is for. And it can be really hard sometimes to get out of, like, I need this for me, but to really get into that mindset. Yeah, of even coming to church in is an act of worship, and that's serving Christ and serving others. That has very little to do with serving me, right? Like, I think we have to start there, first and foremost, getting out of the mindset that worship is about feeding something in me. Yeah. But it begins right at the very beginning, like you said, just showing up. And then there's, opportunities all throughout that where we're participating in acts of worship along with singing.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. Have we talked about this on the podcast? But there have been some Fridays in Live It Out that we've used just to start to point just towards that concept that you're talking about, Aaron, of like, okay, what if I think about coming to look forward to this weekend and actually not just show up and see what happens, but go into it with a mindset of how can I not just be served here? How can I serve others? How can I intentionally take a different approach walking into it? We've just been experimenting with that, throwing that in from time to time.
So let's talk. Yeah. Since it's a good transition, Tim, let's talk about the daily aspect of it. Okay. So that's the weekend. When we gather together, God's people have been doing this for, you know, whatever, 4,000 years or whatever, 3,500, 4,000 ish. So in that, the idea of now, let's switch to, I open this daily worship guide called a daily discipleship guide, Live It Out. And what does that look like? You know, it's like I listen to a song and okay, like what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, good question.
Just judge do I like this song or not? That's what you do.
Maybe speed up the tempo.
Just put it, you might know, have to. Just write on your bulletin, didn't like it.
No.
Or liked it. Judge the song. That's what it's there. That's not what it's
yeah.
there for.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But if you don't like it, there's more opportunities out there.
So many, which is so good. Yes. I mean, if only we could put like an entire, here's a whole bunch, but, okay. So yeah, at least I'm going to speak for my experiences. I'm working on it and prepping it. Like, first of all, I try to really look at, that worship song as a chance for me to align with God. Like that's a space now where I can get into where I kind of am able to zone in, for lack of better wording, maybe, of like, this gives me a starting place. And what's unique too, of course, about music is we're engaging in words someone else wrote, inspired by the Spirit, right? Work in Him. So it's interesting to really, I really value the lyrics of worship songs. And that's something I'm really trying to match well with where I feel like your content is leading us and live it out, is how do I help people make a connection and give them a starting place to utilize this music, these lyrics, these words to connect to spiritual disciplines or acts of worship that will give them a place to start. And so that's a lot of why we really want to have lyrics attached, why we're using YouTube videos that have lyrics attached. Because for me, the real heart is I really want people to engage with, what is this song telling you? And how does that then connect a dot? Like for me, for example, this morning when I was doing Live It Out and you guys connected it to, was it Psalm 37? Was it 37? Mm-hmm. I was reading through the lyrics of the song and I noticed in the passage, it talked a couple times about waiting on God. Uh-huh. And that concept for me was something that stuck out in the song, that one of the lines talks about, if I had known then what I know now, yeah. I would have been still and yeah. allowed you to work. And so then it led me to this place of meditation, this place where I could focus on, in this passage now I'm seeing that, and you guys challenged us to read that and reflect on how does that then impact how you live a grateful life, how you interact with others. And so that was really helpful for me to give people, to try to think, how would I, if I were engaging with this, want to have a place where I felt like I could begin. I see these lyrics that helps me connect to this passage in this way. That leads me then to a practice of worship. It could be something, you know, prayer, meditation, or an act of service, even as you think about, like, when I think about the concept, today's song was, Always on Time. This idea that, which is, you know, kind of a play on words, because the reality is, like, you know, God's not showing up to think, He's constantly with you. But this idea that His will, His timing is perfect, right? Right. And what does that look like then to walk in that, live in that? So for me, it really is trying to give people a place to say, even if you don't have a place to start, the song itself gives you a place to start.
Yeah.
The lyrics are giving you that launching pad to begin. Just look at those words, see what sticks out to you. Does that connect you to an experience you have that yeah. you can think about and remember and praise God for? Does it connect you to a passage
yeah.
that you can go back to and read and meditate on for a while? Does it lead you then to think about how you could serve your spouse, your family, your coworkers, your boss, whatever that day? Does that evoke an act of worship in you? So the hope is that the song really gives you a space to start that just gets your mind thinking and aligned with God. Like, this is something, these aren't my words, but it's put my mind now into a space where I can praise God, honor Him, praise Him, but also then have an active response.
Yeah. I think this that makes a really important point, Aaron, that just generally about spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are not for, or spiritual practices are not for the strong person to prove how strong they are. They are for the weak person. They are a help. I would call them a crutch without any shame attached to it. We right. need crutches, because right. you know, we need to learn to walk. And that's, so like, that's what a song, when used to worship, can do, is it can, I don't have the words. I don't have the feeling. I don't have, well, a song can give you words. A song can even help produce a feeling. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And so then you go, oh, this is helping me go, why do I not feel like declaring how good God is? Why don't I not feel like responding to Him? This song helped me respond to Him using somebody else's words, so that then later I'll do it in the midst of my everyday life, when it's not sitting down with Live It Out in the morning, I'll remember what it feels like to go, oh, God is good. I want to worship him for this. It's like my little example of prepping for a sermon that is sort of a spiritual discipline. Yes, it's important that I don't feel all stressed out and despair about writing a sermon. That's a good lesson to learn. But the way more helpful thing is, that was like a spiritual discipline. And it has made me, in other parts of life, when life at home with our kids, things get really hard or really stressful, I can go, wait a second. It has literally worked this way for me. I go, wait a second. Is this a situation that requires despair, or does it call for joy? What has God given me? You know, mm-hmm. Is this making sense? Like,
yeah.
Whatever it is, if it's a spiritual discipline like worship, is meant to help me have a crutch to learn, this is how I can respond to God when I'm sitting down in a quiet place, so that I can respond to God with worship, maybe not necessarily a song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wherever I am.
Well, that's a good point too. Cause as we've talked already about on the weekend, and whether it's walking in from the point I walk in and I'm with other people and I'm greeting people or friendly or, you know, going, hey, wait, we're here and doing this together, to the time I leave, like it can be. It doesn't mean it is, but it can all be worship. In the same way, everything that we practice, from asking God questions to contemplating to the scripture reading to a song, it is all blended together in worship. If God is revealing truth to me and I'm responding, that is worship, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's my response to God's self-revelation. And so this week on Thursday, we're encouraging people, and we've shared before, we all do it different, mm-hmm. right? We all do it different. Some of us begin with worship, some of us end with worship song. But this day in particular, we just want to give people some tracks to run on trying a particular method. And so to begin with the worship song and then listening, as we do often, you know, listening to a shorter scripture passage multiple times. This is the passage that we're encouraging people, that if you're going to walk away from the book of Philippians and you're going to remember one thing, okay, yes, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. But the thing we really want you to walk away with is, who is Jesus?
Yeah.
Who is Jesus? What's his identity? And it's right there in Philippians 2:6-11. And so running that through your mind multiple times and allowing the worship of gratitude to emerge in that. And so it may be something that day that you listen to the song multiple times, or you're thinking, oh, through this day, I'm going to listen to this scripture passage a few times this morning, on my break at lunch, when I get home or on my way home, I'm going to listen to that passage again, to kind of incorporate this idea that as followers of Jesus, I can worship God through a daily discipleship guide. Thoughts on that?
Live it out, baby.
Live it out.
No, yeah, that's what it's supposed to do. That's what it's there for.
And I think often what mm-hmm. we do is we segment things right. in our life, right? Like we think about, well, there's the Bible reading, there's the worship song,
right?
There's the questions,
right?
There's the one question at the end, which is, we've said before, it's just supposed to be it's just a conversation starter. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should start label it and live it out. We should call it the icebreaker.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's like,
right.
how am I starting a conversation today with Jesus? We might consider that.
That's a good idea.
All right. So we're talking about, as we head into the end of this series, wrapping up, we come out of a series. We've been in this book. We've been talking about living the grateful life so much in Philippians. You know, it's a book that we spent 5 weeks in it. We could have spent a long time in it. There's so much there. But for you, if you're like, okay, here's one or two things that I feel like out of this series I really need to hold on to, which we're encouraging people on Friday. Like, listen to the thing And then, you know, write down, maybe there's one thing, maybe you write it in your Bible at the top of the page of Philippians. We've encouraged you to do that in another series before. Like if you're going to summarize this series in a sentence or two, or just even take a card or a piece of paper and write it on there and stick it in there so that you can scroll back and go, hey, what was this really all about? So for you guys, as you think about that, like what's the big takeaway? You know, we've spent a month in a book. We got to take something away. Or not.
Let's move on. The thing, it maybe has come up a few times because it's the thing I've been thinking about so much, is just that I don't default to gratitude. I don't coast or drift into gratitude to God about life. Not because I don't think I'm a negative person, but because it's just so easy to be blind to what's true. So for me, it's been like, I got to remember what's true. That's what's been, was really helpful for me about the discipline of memorizing, verses 6-11 in chapter 2. I've been saying that out loud to myself. Like because it's poetry, it has sort of it's not just facts. It's like there's a declaration to it when you come to the end of that and you're like, therefore, you know, God has, you know, I mean, like I've needed that. Like, and so it's been good for me to just go, I need to put the effort into this because I default towards going, man, oh, why does life suck so much? You know, walked into, like when we were going to record this today, I kind of walked in like, oh man, people are driving me crazy. Yeah. And I have to work at going, what is true? You know, what has really happened? What is really my situation? Okay, I can be grateful about that. It's not what I would choose. Every detail of my life is not what I would choose.
Right.
Every detail of my day is not what I would choose, but I can still be grateful because of the real situation I'm in, what God has done, that kind of thing.
And it only proves true when life is hard, right? It only proves true.
Yeah. That was a long answer. Sorry,
Aaron.
That was really good. That was great. I think for me, I just came down to like a simple, kind of similar to yours, but one sentence is just refrained in my mind is, this is who I'm called to be. Hmm. And I think for a while I allowed that to be like a heavy burden rather than really embracing to where Paul is really reminding us that the Spirit is at work and equipping us for that. And then too, even I loved how you guys pointed out on one of the weeks too, that we have examples all around us to encourage us and to build us up, and who we're called to be too is a people that do that for each other. They don't condemn each other for all the times I'm not, but actually that we're surrounded by a community that is walking this with us, calling us for, but we are called to be this people. Yeah. So I need to put my effort in, and it mattered. It just made me, that much more aware. But it didn't feel like that burden. It really felt like, I'm sharing this with my church. That's, we're all walking this out together, and I can because the Holy Spirit's with me. But this is who I'm called to be. And that kind of made me rise to the challenge a bit more. I felt like maybe I had gotten comfortable in some ways practicing without gratitude, walking with Jesus. So that felt like to me like a mantra I could hold on to, something like a goal for me to set where I just remembered, no, this is who Jesus is calling me to be, and he's going to help me get there. This is not something I do on my own, and I'm with a whole group. We're all pursuing it together. So that was super encouraging for me in this series.
That's really good. For me, it was, I shared in a sermon meeting, I think it was a week Mark was speaking in chapter 3, just the impact that that chapter had on me at one point in my life. And so I was thinking, as I would walk away from this series, that would be the thing, because that's been the thing in Philippians. I'm not exaggerating, 20 years. It was, it was more than 20 years ago where I felt like the Holy Spirit connected a verse in that scripture, and I think I shared that on the podcast. And that would be the thing, but really, I think it's in chapter 2, where, and it's not, it wasn't a new concept to me. I mean, over and over again, I would remind myself, do all things without grumbling or disputing in verse 14, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among you, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. And I, and for me, it was like, just a profound reminder of something that I say over and over again, that I should never be surprised that the world is the way that it is. It is a twisted and crooked generation. Stop complaining about that. Yeah. that isn't a hope-filled gospel message. And I see that so much within, the church world, where there's these church leaders who are grumbling and complaining about a twisted and crooked generation, that it's been that way, since, you know, 2000 years ago when Paul wrote this letter.
Yeah.
The generation was twisted and crooked, and the same is true now, and the same will return until Christ comes back. And then I can sit around and grumble and complain about that. I had someone even, you know, submit a comment card and even tried to spiritualize their grumbling, complaining, saying it wasn't negative. No, you're just grumbling and complaining. You're just grumbling and complaining because you're complaining. If you're complaining about the culture, you are grumbling and complaining. It is a twisted and crooked generation. Our call is to shine as lights in the midst of a world that doesn't know Christ. And that was, I mean, I say it all the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to convince myself.
Right. Yeah. 100%. I totally get that. Yeah.
All right. So there's a tradition that Tim Bubar gets the last word, but we're changing it up.
Yes.
This week, we are changing it up. And as we get ready to sign off this week, Aaron DeShazo, what is the last word?
All right. My last word. Words.
Words.
Just going to encourage you, be aware of every opportunity you have to choose joy, was just kind of what I left with. Just be aware, and do it. Let's do it.
That's a great last word.
That's good.
Be aware and do it. All right. We'll see you next time. New series coming up next week.